Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia. It is so good to have you with me once again. Amen. Welcome, 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 and thank you for joining me for this installment of this urgent series, No Other Gods. Everything we have need of for life and godliness is in the Word of God. Our Creator has left nothing to chance, and I do mean nothing. If we have a need, He already has supplied it. What more could we ever want than a love like this? Amen. Amen. Our title today is under the No Other God series. Amen. Taking another look, our theme for this year, our topic for today is crucified with Christ. Hopefully last week, amen, you celebrated Resurrection Sunday. Amen. The Lord is risen. We get to the glory of the Father. Amen. He came back. He came to earth specifically for each and every one of us, for all of humanity, because we were a dying breed and there was no hope for us at all unless the Lord came and sacrificed, unless there was a sacrifice that was worthy, amen, to go to die for our sins. And none of us, no, there was none found in the earth, no animal and no human being was found that was worthy to take all of our sins once and for all. So the Lord himself formed himself a body. The Lord formed himself a body and came down through 40 and two generations. Amen. He lived just as we did in that body. He hungered. He slept. Amen. He had to walk distances, so he got tired. Amen. He understands exactly what we go through in these bodies. And even at that moment on the cross, amen, when the Lord was nailed to the cross, amen, and he was going there, sacrificing his life. That was his purpose. He was born to die. Amen. That body was born to die. We know the Spirit of God never dies, but that body was born to die. Amen. Jesus himself, being fully God and fully man, was born to die. Amen. And that body went on the cross. Amen. And we heard, amen, in the scriptures, amen, you'll find it in the gospel, where he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Glory to God. In that moment, I believe with all of my soul, I'm telling you, I believe with all of my spirit, I believe, amen, that that was the moment that he felt the separation that comes from sin, because all of those sins were thrust upon him at that moment, and it was an anguish, amen, that was heard. Amen. The Word of God I was reading on today, amen, I was reading because I was thinking, amen, about the people, amen, of the earth. I have been constantly praying about the entire globe and the global cry out that's going before God even right now. And even as so many voices are coming up before God, sin also has a cry. Sin has an anguish. So when sin is, when that anguish comes up before God, amen, the Lord has to respond. And we see that is what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Go back and look at it. The Word of God said the outcry. Amen. The Lord heard the outcry and he investigated. He heard the outcry because sin has a sound. Amen. That anguish that the Lord felt on the cross when he was suddenly separated from the Father. He had never been separated from the Father. He didn't know at that point what it felt like. Amen. But at that moment, he felt what we feel when we are separated from God. Amen. And he did it just for us, so that no longer do we have to be separated from the Lord. No longer are we bound to the consequences of sin and death. Amen. That first Adam brought in, Jesus being the second Adam, amen, that first Adam, amen, he ushered in death into all of the earth. Even the plants and animals died because of the disobedience of one man. But in the obedience, glory to God, of that next man, that second Adam, Jesus Christ, in his obedience, we now have life. Glory to God. We're no longer bound to sin and death. We know we're no longer under the law of, amen, but now we are under the law of the Spirit of life. Glory to God. Jesus has ushered in life into all of the earth, into all of the earth, into all of the earth. Amen. And the final battle is yet to come. Amen. When the enemy himself, the one who caused the fall in the first place, amen, will be destroyed once and for all. We give glory to and honor to the Lord today. Amen. I praise him for all that he is. Amen. I have such a burden. Amen. The Lord gave me no other God several weeks ago. I think the first time I brought it forward may have been at the end of March, maybe beginning of April, but it has been on me fast and furious. No other gods. I have been putting it on Facebook. If you want to look at my page on Facebook, it's simply entitled Elder Lydia. I do not have a picture there. Amen. All I have is the name of the ministry, Amazing Grace Extraordinary Truth Ministries. Amen. And I have just words. No other gods. Amen. The Lord is looking for us to turn back to him. Amen. We have come to look just like Sodom and Gomorrah before the Lord. And the outcry has come into the ears of God just as it did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And don't be fooled. Do not be deceived. Amen. We are walking in like days. And even as in the days of Noah, the word lets us know. Amen. And when men were giving in marriage, when they're buying and trading, when just going on about life and doing your thing and doing what you call your thing rather than the things of God, and then just walking along and doing this and doing that and not considering God at all, just walking forth, just walking in abandon, glory to God, and the Lord will come, amen, in a twinkling of an eye when you least expect it. While you're doing those things that you ought not do, while you're doing those things that may seem normal, because everything that we do are not bad things. Everything that we do does not dishonor God. Some of those things are just activities of daily living. We get up, we bathe, we brush our teeth, we wash our faces. Amen. Hopefully somewhere in there we're giving honor and glory to God. But if we're not, all of us do those things. Amen. If we're able. Glory to God. But the Lord is calling for a return, and then a return in all nations, but especially in the household of faith that has turned their faces away, amen, from the standards of holiness. The Lord demands holiness. None of us are going to see his face without being holy. He demands it. He demands exclusivity. Amen. You can't lift up your flesh and lift up Jesus at the same time. He demands exclusivity. Amen. The word tells us in Exodus that he told him back then. And the Israelites, the Hebrews, amen, the Lord made them a nation set apart from him to be a light to the Gentiles. They were to show us the way to God. They were to show us the way to live. They were to show us how, amen, we ought to present ourselves in his presence. And the Lord laid it all out, glory to God. Hallelujah. And he told them the very first commandment that he gave was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The very second, amen, thou shalt have no other gods before me, found upon that one. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Glory to God. So we can't hold anything before God. God first, God first, God first. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those other things that you have need of, that you're craving for, that you think you ought to have. The Lord will supply what you have need of. Everything we want is not what we need. And some of the things we want will destroy us. When will we learn? Amen. We're like men and women chasing our tails, and then we wonder why we're in the same place and haven't gotten anywhere because we continue to chase things that are not fruitful, things that are not life-giving, things that actually are destructive to us. So the Lord won't let us move, and we end up chasing our tail. My Lord and my God, I did not come on here to say all that. At least I did not realize I came on here to say all that. But I honor the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, I'm repenting, amen, before God just like you. Amen, because we know that there are things in our flesh that we are not aware of. And they pop up from time to time like, oh, dear Lord, where'd that come from? I didn't even know that was there. Glory to God. We need to stay in the presence of God so that he can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen, we want to lift up before him clean hearts, pure, clean hearts, amen. pure hearts and clean hands, or pure hands and clean hearts. Hallelujah. I can't even think of how that scripture and words are at the moment. But look it up. It's there. It's in the Word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I praise God. We are serving a crucified Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And to be crucified was a curse. It was a curse. He was cursed for us. He was cursed for us. The God of glory, the creator of all things, was cursed for us. Oh, the ramifications of that thing, I'm telling you, oh my God, the impact weighs heavily. It ought to weigh heavily upon our hearts. So much so that we just wouldn't dare lift another thing before his presence and think that it was okay. Oh, Lord God, heal our hearts and our minds. Even right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, move, oh God, in us and help us, Lord, to see. Oh, my God. You know, I was reading newscast. It's a newscast, but it was like in a paper form. And you know how we have internet news. Amen. And the same thing comes over the TV, and they say almost the exact same words, but it is in written form on the internet. So I'm reading these articles of news, and ones related to my area. I live in the Pacific Northwest, and how they're having rallies at the Capitol building because they don't see any light, no light at the end of the tunnel is what the article said. No light at the end of the tunnel. I want you to hear that. They're saying no light at the end of the tunnel because of this shelter in place, because they're sitting at home and they're not making money, and they're feeling, amen, the pressures of life, and they're saying no light at the end of the tunnel. Amen. But let me tell you something. Glory to God. God has given us an opportunity to turn. And if we are looking for a light that is not God, we are not going to find any light at all. It is always going to remain dark, even if they open up the city today. It is going to remain dark in your life. If you are looking for a light that is not Jesus, it's going to remain dark. But this is an opportunity to seek the light that truly is light, and that is the life giver. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, amen, can come to the Father except by him. Amen. We're seeking the wrong things in this hour. Amen. Perhaps the shelter in place would be lifted a lot faster if all of us were seeking the light of Christ, if all of us were lifting up our eyes to the Lord for our help, if all of us were seeing him as the light of the world, the salvation of all of humanity, because that is who he is. He is our living hope. They're saying they see no light at the end of the tunnel because they feel hopeless. But Jesus is our living hope. And he will bring hope in the midst of chaos. He will bring hope in the midst of darkness, or an area of our life that we perceive to be darkness. He will bring hope, and he will bring light, and he will bring life because he is God. Hallelujah. And he came that we might have life, and that more abundantly. Don't be deceived by the spirit of the enemy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ah, this is a time for self-examination, a time for us at where we are in our lives. Amen. Let me say this to you, in sociology, there is different phases of life. Glory to God. And I'm not actually going to go through Erickson. It's actually what I was thinking of. So those that know about sociology, and even look up Erickson, well, you know, look it up. Take a look at it. You'll find it interesting because he talks about the phases of life. And in every phase of life, there's a point that there should be a point of self-examination. Have I fulfilled everything that I wanted and needed to fulfill in this stage of my life? Am I on course to do that I was destined to do? Have I given my all to whatever it is that the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has given you? Have I given it my all? Am I where I am supposed to be in God? Am I being guided by the light and not by the darkness? Am I being guided by my flesh, or am I being guided by God? We need to examine ourselves in this hour. But while the Lord has given us this pause, I mean, many don't even have to go to work. Not everybody has an essential duty. Not everyone has essential jobs. And even the ones that do still need to take the time to pause and ask God. Pause and reckon with themselves. Pause and look at their life. Is this it? I mean, there should be a point that you ask, is this it, all that there is, really? I mean, there should be a point that we're asking that. Because at that point there, the Lord is waiting for you to say yes, waiting for you to open the door, waiting for you to see that there is more. There is so much more to life. There is so much more to living. There is so much more to being prosperous. There is more to being rich. It's not just having a $300 handbag when a $30 handbag will do the same thing. It will hold your goods the same way as the $300 one. And they both may even wear out at the same time. They both may even look just as pretty. I'm going to give you an example. I had bought my mother a handbag for her birthday. And it was a red leather handbag, really pretty, and one that I thought she would love. I paid maybe $80 for it. It was on sale. Well, when I came to visit, I had a $30 handbag. It was red. It was really pretty, but it wasn't leather. And it certainly was cheaper because I had too much stuff in it, like I generally do. I always carry way too much in my handbags. And the strap was starting to tear. And you could see, like, right at the edge where it was starting to tear because of the weight of all the things that I was carrying. And the first thing my mom looked at it, she was like, oh, it's not leather. She's like, oh, then no. I'm like, wait a minute. They do the same thing. It shouldn't matter. But we look at the wrong things, is my point. We look at the wrong things. We think the wrong things are good. And it's nothing wrong with having a $300 handbag. There's nothing wrong with having a $30 handbag. And that is my point. That is my point. But your life should not be spent trying to buy the most expensive things, because you'll miss the point of life. You'll miss the point of what God has given you. You'll miss the gift that he's laid right at your feet when all you think about is getting the best of the best of the best. You miss the point, and you miss out on living because you're working so hard to buy the best of the best of the best. You'll miss the point, and then you'll end up in hell because you never looked up to see Jesus. You never looked up to see that all those things that you had need of and a lot of what you wanted, he would have given you anyway. Cannot have any other gods before him. Our jobs cannot be our God. Our pastors can't be our God. Our teachers can't be our God. Our parents can't be our God. Our children cannot be God. All those that had, though, all these other gods in their lives, right now they're really in chaos, really feeling hopeless, because none of those things can save them. Only Jesus saves. Our stuff can't save us. The Lord gave us this creativity and these talents and these abilities and these gifts to make our life easier on earth. They were never to replace him. He did not give us all these things to replace him. He allowed us to have them to make our life easier in the earth. We cannot put those other things before him. We ought to arrive giving him glory and giving him thanks, because he is the one that saves. He is the one who delivers. He is the one who heals. He is the one who supplies. The Lord can cut off our supply at any time. People are seeing that right now, because many of their supplies are being cut off, even the rich. Their supply, their lifeline, what they call their lifeline, is being cut off. But the Lord wants you to see that he is your lifeline. The Lord wants you to see that he is your supply. The Lord wants you to see that he is your deliverer. The Lord wants you to see that he is your healer. The Lord wants you to see that he is everything that you need. Like I tell you in the beginning and the introduction, everything that we have need of it for life and godliness, it is in the word of God. There is nothing that the Lord has left out. He has left nothing to chance. Everything that we have need of, it is in him. He is the almighty, all-seeing, all-knowing, omnipresent God. He does not miss a beat. He knows where you are in this moment and where I am in this moment. And it does not matter what space or time zone that we are in, the Lord sees us at the same time. He hears the words that we speak at the same time. He knows our hearts at the same time. He fulfills his will in us at the same time. God is moving at all times, speaking at all times, reckoning at all times. No other gods. Hallelujah. Oh, I give glory and I give honor to the Lord. Amen. I'm going to leave the scripture with you at the end. Glory to God when the Lord, when I feel a little more relaxed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It was necessary that I guess I go over that again with you. God bless you. I love you so much, each and every one of you, and I don't even know who you are. I don't know the frame of your faith, what your life is like for you. I don't know the nation that you live in, but what I do know is the Lord loves you, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I do know that. I know that he loves you with an everlasting love, and his hand is on you. I know that he is waiting for you to cry out to him, to cry out to him for salvation, for deliverance. I know he is there to deliver you out of every vice and every sin and every addiction, everything that has come against your life. Those things are against you, not for you. The devil doesn't have any good things for you, but God does. Everything that he has for you, it is good. Everything. Even when we have to go through the bad things in order to see the good, it's good for you. Because scripture lets us know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. All things. Oh, my God. You know, it's hard to see that sometimes. I understand that because I'm just as human as you. And life has hit me, I'm sure, just as hard. I have been through some very hard things. Some things that other people have not survived and even killed themselves because of. I have been through those things. And that is not giving myself any glory whatsoever, because I went through those things with God. He brought me through those things. And sometimes kicking and screaming because I didn't understand where I was. I didn't understand who I was. That's why sometimes we need to be still. When you don't understand where you are or who you are, you need to be still and wait for God to give you instructions. Wait for him to give you direction. Don't leap into anything until God speaks. Until God speaks. Until he shakes you. Until he makes you. Until he shows you your value and who you are and who he is. Don't move. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm a witness. I have moved so many times, amen, without God, or moved much like Sarah did. Amen. Sarah moved without God. She gave another woman to her husband, to wife, and then got mad about it after she did it. But she did that. She leaped. The Lord promised her the seed of promise. The seed of promise was to her, not to any other woman. No other woman on the face of the planet could have done what Sarah did, because that seed of promise was promised to her by God himself. And no, Hagar could not carry the seed of promise. And yes, Ishmael and the nations that proceeded out of him was blessed, but that those nations were not the seed of promise. Isaac was the seed of promise. Many of us have done the very same thing. The Lord has given us a word that we're going to do this or we're going to do that. So we leap ahead of the Lord and we make a complete mess, a shambles, amen, and a mess that seems like we cannot recover from. I've done that. I already know. You don't even have to tell me. I know. Glory to God. We have done that. Amen. And the Lord has to come right back and sweep up the mess, clean it up, clean us up, clean them up, clean that up. Fix it, realign us, reestablish us, position us so that we are back in line to receive the blessing that was so much greater than that we were thinking in the first place. People of God, get in line for your blessing. Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you on this day. And I'm saying that to myself as well. Lay aside the sin and every weight. Amen. Some things are just weighty things that we just were not intended to carry. Or some things may be things from the past that you're trying to drag along into your present and into your future, and you can't do it because we were not intended to carry all of that. The Lord didn't tell us to. And he's telling you now to lay it aside. Lay it aside. Maybe those weighty things are God's for you. Get rid of those things. Get rid of even the physical things in your home, amulets, all those things that are ungodly, all those things, amen, that we know are gods, that we know are paganistic, that we know symbols of mysticism. Get rid of those things. Amen. If a witch gave you a gift, get it out of your house. And yes, get rid of those things. Amen. We need to unload the past. Unload those things. The Lord has delivered you out. Don't carry any of those things into your future. Don't carry any of those things through your present and expect to keep. That's why some of us are weighted down, because we're trying to carry all the other stuff. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But, honey, I have gotten to the point, I don't want to hurt God's feelings. Jesus, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want the Spirit of the Lord to be grieved. So I'm getting rid of all this mess. I don't need it. I don't need it. Neither do you. The Lord is going to cut off certain people. He's going to cut off certain things so that you can live. So that you can live. It is life for you that the Lord cut off these things. It is life for you that you be separated unto God. It is life for you. Put aside those things. Glory to God. Amen. I am almost out of time. Glory to God. I am almost out of time. God bless you and God keep you, people of God. Please, please, please adhere to the tenets of the Word of God. Adhere to the things of holiness and righteousness. Continue to have your faith fixed toward God. Amen. To God in a posture of humility, because He is sovereign. He is God. Amen. And He is looking out upon each and every one of us, wanting to bless us. But we can only be blessed, amen, if we are within that standard. And I do recognize, and so does he, what the word says, that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. But we want to receive the promise of those that are sealed with the Holy Ghost and fire, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. Shame on you, people of God, if you are telling one another that they don't need the Holy Spirit in this age. These are the last days. That has not changed since the days of the disciples. Amen. Peter got up and preached that the prophet Joel spoke, that in the last days that the Lord would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters would prophesy. Amen. If it was the last days then this is the last of the last days. And the Lord is still moving mightily. He's still moving miraculously. He is still filling people with his power, with his presence. And we are still speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance as evidence of his presence. Stop telling people that's not the truth. You make yourself a liar. You make yourself a liar. A liar when you tell people that is not the truth. Amen. Go back to Acts chapter 2 and read. Amen. Read. When the Lord told them to go and wait to be endued with power from on high. They didn't know exactly how God was going to come. They didn't know how he was going to manifest himself. But the Lord had already promised them that he would send them a comforter. A comforter. Glory to God. And the Holy Ghost is that comforter. He is that advocate. He is the one that reminds us what the Spirit of the Lord says to us, what the Word of God says. He is the one that discerns evil and good. He is the one that directs us. takes us out of trouble if we listen to his voice. No other gods. Amen. We are crucified with Christ. If we have received him, we died with him. Our old works are dead. We have died to ourselves. We don't even look the same anymore. Amen. We have become new creations in him. We are born again. Glory to God. Nicodemus came to the Lord in the middle of the night asking him, amen, questions, amen. And the Lord let him know that he must be born again. And he said, Lord, how can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? And the Lord let him know, you must be born of the Spirit. Glory to God and of the water. Hallelujah. Don't tell people that they don't need the Spirit of the Lord in these days, that the Lord has stopped doing those things. That's a lie. From the pit of hell, do you realize that you have been bamboozled, hoodwinked by Satan himself when you say that? That plays directly into his hands because he doesn't want you to see the salvation of the Lord. He doesn't want you to live godly and live holy. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is what keeps us. The Holy Ghost is what enables us to live holy because we are still in these fleshly bodies that crave sin. But we are beating it down by the power of the Holy Ghost. And they're mortifying this flesh. We are subduing it under control by the Holy Ghost. We're not doing this ourselves. Glory to God. We want to honor God. We want to lift him up. We want him to be pleased with our lives. And we want to keep sin far from us. So every day we come before him asking him to wash us. Wash us every day. Every day. Because we don't know what we picked up in the course of a day. We don't know what enemies may have come in the middle of the night. So we get up every day and ask the Lord to wash us and ask the Lord to direct us and ask the Lord to show us and ask the Lord which way should we go. Amen. How should we do this? How should we do that? Or should we just wait? And we wait in his presence until he answers and he guides and he leads. He is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. The Lord is.
Amen. From the Amplified, and I'm going to read several versions, and I am actually at the end of the broadcast at this time, so I am literally leaving these at the end of the broadcast. God bless you, each and every one of you. The broadcast actually has ended, and now we are going into the archive, so if you are listening live, amen, you can no longer hear it at this point because the broadcast has ended, but I'm going to leave these just for you to read in your leisure, but consider the words that I've said tonight. Amen. No other gods. Amen. We must fall on our faces before the Lord and repent of every sin, of commission and omission, every sin. We must examine ourselves according to the word of God and see where we have lined up and where we lack. Lord, what lack I yet? Hallelujah. One person said in scripture, we want to be pleasing to the Lord, and we don't want to cut off our blessings. There was one point, amen, when the Lord had given Israel, amen, 613 laws to live by so that they will remain blessed. And the Lord let them know which things were blessings and which things would be a curse unto them. Sin, anything that falls under sin is a curse for you. So those are the things we want to get rid of. Those are the things we want to burn those bridges, glory to God. I know so many times we talk about not burning bridges, but these are bridges we absolutely need to burn, those that lead back into sin, those that take us backward rather than forward, those that take us sideways, glory to God. We're not trying to go sideways or backwards. We're going forward in Jesus. We're going to higher heights and deeper depths in him. Hallelujah. And we are, amen, I'm reading from Galatians 2, verse 20, and I am going to actually read this in several versions for your consideration, and then I am going to say goodnight. And I'm reading from the Amplified, Galatians 2 and 20, and it says, I have been crucified with Christ. This is Paul speaking. That is, in him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That the life I now live in the body, I live by faith by adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Galatians 2 and 20, I'm reading from the Modern English Version. Amen. The Modern English Version is a modernized King James Version. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. To God, Galatians 2 and 20, I'm reading from the Young Literal Translation, Third Revision. With Christ I have been crucified, and live no more do I. And Christ doth live in me, and that which I now live in the flesh, in the faith I live of the Son of God, who did love me and did give himself for me. Amen. Galatians 2 and 20, I'm reading this one from the Message Bible. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God. It didn't work, so I quit being a lawman, God's man. Christ's life showed me how, enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to go back on that. It is not clear to you that to go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God. I refuse to do that. To repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. And then I am going to read one more to you from the New Living Translation of Galatians 2 and 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So that I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have read and you have heard from Galatians 2 and 20 and several different versions of the Bible. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and the most of all, the doers of his word. And sanctify the truth in all of our hearts. Amen. Consider the words, amen, that I have spoken out tonight. Consider your relationship with the Lord. Examine yourself, amen, that you be right in the presence of God, that you have lifted him up and not all those other things. Examine your life, that you are putting God first and not all those other things. Examine your physical surroundings, that you have no gods, amen, or nothing, no mysticism, no witchcraft, amulets, or anything around, amen, that is also an idol in the presence of God, and that is harmful even to your spirit. God bless you, and God keep you, people of God. Amen. Glory, glory, glory to his name. Amen. I praise God for each and every one of you. Amen. Until next time, God bless you, God keep you, and God anoint you. Amen.